Bruchim Abom, everybody. Welcome to our Monday night shiur. Tonight we're not going to be speaking about the parsha per se because this Shabbos is actually Yom Tov. It'll be Shmini Atzeres. At any rate, tonight is the second day of Chol HaMoed, which would be on the Hebrew calendar Yud Ches Tishrei. In the English calendar, it's still Monday. It's the 5th of October, 2020. Tonight's special guest that visits every sukkah is the Spiesen of Moshe Rabbeinu. We are privileged to have his neshama in all of our sukkahs, and it gives us an opportunity to do whatever is capable on our part in enhancing the environment for the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu. We are going to talk a little bit about Simchas HaChag. I'd like to dedicate tonight's shiur to my Rebbe, my Rosh Hashiva, Rav Chaim Dov Keller. It's already the Shloshim of his passing away. I received shiurim of the Rosh Hashiva on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then on Sukkot. I would love to share the shiur that he has that's so enlightening to us how to observe the holiday of Sukkot. And I would like to begin with some introductory words. We all know that the Shalosh Regalim are all very special in their own right. We have Chag HaPesach. We say it is Zman Chavrusenu. Chag HaShavuos is Zman Matan Torasenu. That's the name that we coined at Yontif. The Chag HaSukkos, Chazal, have coined it to be Zman Simchasenu. It's the time of our Simcha. A time where there's unusual Simcha at the time of the festival of Sukkot. The whole concept of Simcha, of V'samachta b'chagecha, really is a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk says, V'samachta b'chagecha, you shall rejoice with your festival, ata uvanecha ubitecha, you and your sons and your daughters, v'avdecha v'amosecha, v'alevi v'ager v'hayosim v'alma asheb b'sharecha, and your servants and your maidservant, the levi and the convert and the orphan and the widow which are in your gates. You shall rejoice with them this holiday, and they should be b'simcha. So my Rebbe brings down an interesting gemara. The Gemara in Pesachim says, Tan Rabbanan, Chayev Adam L'Samer, Bonav U'B'nei Beisai Beregel. A person is obligated to make happy his family, his sons and his daughters, his B'nei Beisai, during the Regel. Shenema, as it says, V'samach T'Bechagecha. Ask the Gemara, B'ma M'samchem, with what do you make them happy? So there are differences of opinion. Some say biyayin, with wine. Some say a wife has to be given nice clothing, colored and pretty clothing. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash today. How do we fulfill V'samachta B'chagecha? Another opinion, as is brought down, Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseva Omer, Bizman she Beis HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash would be in existence, Ein Simcha Ela Bebasar. The Simcha would be celebrated with meat. Shenema, as it says, V'zavachta Shlomim V'chalta Sham V'samachta L'fnei Hashem Alekecha. You would slaughter their animals and you would eat before Hashem, and you will rejoice before Hashem your God. V'achshav, but now, she'ein beis hamikdash kayim, the beis hamikdash is not in existence, and simcha elu b'yayin. She'nema, as it's brought in the Tehillim, v'yayin samach levaf enosh. So one opinion we have is a physical joy, enjoyment. There's a physical way of celebrating the holiday of Sukkot. But the Rosh Hashiva asks, but there is a Medrash that's in conflict with this whole Gemara. The Medrash Rabban Shir Hashirim says, there's a pasuk in Shir Hashirim that says, Nagila v'nismecha bach, and we will rejoice and be happy with you. What does that mean? Rabbi Avin Pasach, Rabbi Avin says, Zehayim as Hashem Nagila v'nismecha voy, with him, with Hashem. Comes Shlomo HaMelech and explains, Nagila v'nismecha bach means Behakodesh Baruch Hu. You want to have simcha with Hashem. What does Bach mean? Bishua Secha, with you, with Hashem's Yeshua, salvation. Bach means B'seiraschah, with your Torah. Bach B'yiraschah, with fearing Hashem. So what does this all amount to? It comes out that the enjoyment, the simcha that we're supposed to rejoice is all spiritual. It's in complete conflict with what the Gemara had said before in Pesachim. It seems that we are, it's understood that we are supposed to be rejoicing Simchas Yontov with Inyanim Chomrim, with physical things, with wine, with meat, with nice clothing, but doesn't necessarily emphasize at all B'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'Teirasa, and so forth. To make the question even a little bit stronger, we know the whole idea of Shabbos. We observe Shabbos once a week to remind ourselves that in 6 days, 6 days a week you are to do your work. Shabbos to Hashem. You shouldn't do any work. You, your family, nobody, your servant, your maidservant, your animals, nobody's supposed to be doing work. How do we celebrate Shabbos? We know that we're mechuyev to remember Shabbos. So Rashi says on the pasuk in Nisrei, he says, how do you remember Shabbos? Constantly. We have a mitzvah to remember Zechor Es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei. It's one of the six remembrance that we have an obligation to remember every day. How do you remember? You remember with food. Shim nizdamen lo chefetz yofa tehei mizmina l'shabbos, Rashi says. If you find a good item, a good piece of meat, a good fruit, even on Sunday, remember Shabbos even on Sunday and put it away for Shabbos. And if you find something better on Monday, then you eat what you bought on Sunday and save the item on Monday for Shabbos and so forth. Right, we know our great tzaddikim have been eating a whole week in remembrance of Shabbos, because as the week had progressed, they have been buying things that outshone the beauty and the taste and the luxury of the previous day. That they found something much more enhancing on Thursday. So what they have bought on Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday, they've just eaten, and then they wouldn't save it for Shabbos. So the mitzvah of remembering Shabbos, not just on a spiritual level, but also on a physical level. Yet we know that Shabbos is the foundation of our emunah, that we believe that 6 days Hashem created the world, on the seventh day He rested. This is our faith. This is our emuna. Yet, we remember Shabbos with food. And my Rebbe brings a famous mashal. How do you make that happen, where you get the soul excited? There's a mashal to a person in prison. And this person hears that his wife had just given birth to a baby boy. So this prisoner is so excited, and he wants to rejoice with all the other prisoners. But how are you going to get the other inmates excited? They have no reason to rejoice. So he takes one of his hidden bottles of schnapps that he brought with him to the prison. And he started handing out cups of schnapps to all of his friends in the prison. And they become a little bit sicker. And they start rejoicing with him and dancing with him and make him feel good. We think in a similar way. Shabbos is we have a neshama. The neshama is imprisoned in the body. So how is the neshama going to feel good? We give it good food, a good chalent, a good piece of gefilte fish, and a piece of potato kugel. We make the neshama feel good because the body feels good. When the body rejoices, the neshama feels good. Similar to the person in prison, that when he felt good and everyone else had a good shot of schnapps, they rejoiced with him. So again, the main point of the Shabbos is that we have to remember the Emunah, the faith that Hashem created the world in 6 days and rested on Shabbos. Yet there is an intense emphasis on the physical pleasure. How do we make sense out of this? It's the same question we just asked before on the Yom Tov. We put down the Yom Tov is noted for its basar v'yayin, and rejoicing with its with physical pleasures, and yet we know that Yom Tov is supposed to be nagilah nismucha bach in Hashem. Not only that, the word bach, beis chav, the beis means is add up to 2, the chav is 20, together 20 and 2 is 22, it refers to the 22 letters of the alphabet which the Torah was written. So this is the dichotomy, has to be explained because there seems to be emphasis on both sides. So how do we fulfill this amach the b'chakecha? To answer this question, Rosh Yeshiva brings out from the Sefer Shir Das, written by Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch Zecher Tzadik Levracha, an interesting question that has to do with Yitzchok Avinu. And with this question that the Rabbi Yosef Leib Bloch raises, and he gives an answer, we'll have a whole new insight to Simchas Yom Tov. He asked the following question. We're all familiar with the story with Yitzchak Avinu when his eyes became dim and he felt he was going to die. He said, he called over Esav, his son, and he said to Esav, Hinei nozakanti lo yadati yoymaisi. Behold, I am aging. I don't know the day I'm going to die. Va'ata, and now, son of Chilecha, tell Yecha v'kashtecha, go out and go and take your weapons. V'tzei ha'sodeh v'tzudeh litzoyeh, then go hunt for me a hunting. Va'aseh li matamim, and make for me a tasty dish. Kasha ahavti, the way I like. V'avia li, bring it to me v'aychele, and I will eat it. In order that my soul will bless you before I die. Very strange. Yitzchak was the epitome of holiness, of ruchness, of spirituality. Yitzchak was a korban on the Akedah. What does he need a tasty dish to bless Esav? Isn't that a conflict in itself? A holy man like Yitzchak needs a good steak dinner. I'm just using modern terms. He needed a tasty dish, and he needed Esav to go hunt for him a hunting so he'll be able to give him a good, strong blessing. What was behind all that? It seems to be not in place for Yitzchak to be asking something like that. At this point, we can assume if he considers himself near his death, he probably has no Yetzer Hara at all. What was driving him? What was the reason why he asked for matamim, for a tasty dish? So the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Yosef Leib Bloch, in the Sefer Shir Das, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, explained this question in a marvelous way, and will be able to explain our original question. Reb Yosef Leib explains that Yitzchak wanted to bless Esav, not a simple blessing. He wanted to bless Esav with his entire body, with all of his might, and whatever he could possibly put into a blessing. With all of his might, with all of his body, with all of his strength, with all of his potential. Now, a person, would you like to agree or not? We all are human. No matter if you are a small person or a big person, a simple person or a holy person, you have to breathe and he has to breathe. You have to eat, and a great person has to eat. A physical person, a physical body has physical urges. A body that has physical urges has also an inclination to satisfy its physical hungers. And therefore, Yitzchak was anxious to be able to cater to his physical desires so that his physical desires would be in concert with his kavana, with his blessing, that he's completely and totally blessing Esav with nothing left behind. He wanted his body and his soul to be in concert with the blessing. He wanted to use every bit of his being, of his potential, to make that blessing total and complete. If he would not have that bit of food that he asked to be brought, he felt there would be a minuscule of his person, of his body, of his essence missing in the blessing, because his body would have a yearning, a hunger, or a need for some other need that it had. And it wouldn't be able to devote itself to the bracha in its entirety. Yitzchak, in his genius, knew that he was still a human, and he has human hungers and human inclinations that need to be pacified and satisfied. And therefore, he asked Esav to bring him a tasty food so that when the bracha would come from the mouth of Yitzchak, it would be a total bracha. It would be a bracha in its complete form. Nothing would be missing. And therefore, this is what he asked Esav to bring him. Now, this is an important thing that he's bringing to light over here. We see from over here that in being misameach, a person's body, when he wants to have simcha, right? So we have a physical and a spiritual aspect to us. What the Rosh Hashiva was explaining to us, Rav Yosef Leib Bloch Zatzal, in the Shir Hadas, is that a person has to create within in himself a certain balance between the spiritual and the physical needs that he has. And if he wants to be Mesameach, he has to be Mesameach with both. He has to be Mesameach with good meat and wine, with good clothing. And he also has to be Mesameach with the Ruchnius, with Torah as well. Of course, depending on the greatness of the individual, that is how much more spirituality a person will drive himself to want to participate in the Simchas Yontif, to be able to fulfill the Simcha according to his needs. If a person is less spiritual, so he'll have less spirituality in his drive to fulfill the Simcha. It'll be more physical pleasures, but it still would incorporate some spirituality. But the in order to be able to be Mesameach properly, a person has to entertain and the needs of his body. His body also has to be Besimcha. And it's no wonder that Simcha Beis HaShoeva was the epitome of Simcha at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, during the holiday of Sukkot, where the Simcha was so high and great that the people who were attended the Simcha Beis HaShoeva were able to be to have Nevuah. We're told that Yonah Hanavi got his prophecy to go to the city of Nineveh at the Simcha Beis HaShoeva, because the Simcha that he needed to complete his role as a Navi happened at the Simcha Beis HaShoeva. So we see that Simcha, as we started out today's shir, that we're talking about V'samachta b'chagecha, you should be happy and you should rejoice with your holiday, with your festival, is a combination of physical and spiritual needs. Physical, like food and clothing, and spiritual, like the body needs also Torah, also Simcha, and it also needs that element of Simcha that can come through music. All that is part and parcel of making a person b'Simcha. Now, if a person then has come to the realization that the Savisa Machta B'Chagecha that we talk about during our Chagim, especially on Sukkot, is a combination of physical and spiritual pleasures, so then when one comes to realize that he has a balance between the two, he is certainly rejoicing and fulfilling the Simchas HaChag, the V'samachta B'Chagecha, with his family, with his friends, and with his community. In light, having said this, we could understand another aspect of our Avodas Hashem. You know, the Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, mentions in the Sefer B'Motzei Shalal Rav, a very interesting insight. He said the holiday of Sukkot is full of tremendous amount of influence, hashpa'ah. The spiritual influences that we have are many. I mean, we're going to a sukkah, and we are able to be within the walls of a sukkah, which is kadosh. It's like going into a mikveh. And there we have the shpizen. We have the various neshamas that are there in the sukkah. We have the lulav nesrik, and we have each one representing different parts of our body, which are supposed to bring out the best of us. The heart is represented in the esrik. We know the lulav represents the spine, the adasim, the eyes, the aravis, the lips. All of this are like lahavdil buttons that we can push and bring out tremendous amount of hashpa'ah, influence from the heaven above. But we are not to expect that if we don't go into a sukkah, for us to be enveloped with the kedusha of sukkah. We can't expect the influence of holding a lulav and esrog with various parts and various influences to be able to affect us if we don't have a lulav and esrog. In order for us to be able to bring the hashpa'ah, the influence from heaven down to earth, that into our being, we have to be the one to make the first step. We have to build a sukkah and go into a sukkah. We have to buy lulav and esrog and shake the lulav. These are all, lahavdil, very important buttons that if we press, then we are entitled to tremendous hashpah. Shaking the lulav, tremendous hashpah. All these things are influences. So Reb Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal mentions that the tremendous holiday of Sukkot that's full of tremendous amount of spirituality will not come upon us unless we make the effort to do the things that require us to fulfill these mitzvahs. It's like, you know, there is the hashpah, there is the influence, but we are the vessels to accept it. If we are not the keli, the vessel, if we don't open up our hands to accept it, so it won't happen, right? We have to make the first effort. And this is how it's important that when Hashem sees how we have devoted our time, money, and effort into doing the mitzvahs of the Chag, which we all have, then we will certainly be blessed with a tremendous amount of influence that Sukkot, the holiday of Sukkot, has to offer us. He gives an example that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to count the Levim. Now the Levim were counted from 30 days of age and older, not like the rest of Klal Yisrael from 20 years. So these little babies couldn't walk up and come to Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu had to go in front of every Levi's tent, and Hashem would have a baskol come out and tell Moshe Rabbeinu how many babies that are there in that tent. Why did Hashem have to do that? Hashem could have told Moshe, this is the number and that's enough. The answer is Hashem wanted Moshe to make the effort. Hashem wanted Moshe to make the effort to go get up and walk in front of the tent, and a miracle would happen, and a voice from heaven would come out and tell Moshe how many babies. We have a similar story with Basia, you know, the daughter of Paro. She extended her hand to take that little baby basket that was floating in the Nile to her, and we all know that she really couldn't reach it. But despite the fact that it was impossible to get to her, she still extended her hand, and miraculously her hand was able to reach the basket pull the basket to herself, and she uncovered the basket of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did that happen? Because she made the effort. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal is telling us, in order for us to be a keli, in order for us to be a vessel of hashpa'ah, we have to make the effort, no matter how small, but we have to make the effort. And this is not just a lesson for now. It's a lesson for an entire year. Hashem has so much to give to us, but he's waiting for us to open up our hand. Make the effort, and we will be blessed with so much for the little effort that we show. I have seen another beautiful thought, and with this I'd like to close. I've seen a thought mentioned in the name of Rav Nosson Meir Vachtfeigl, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the Menahel Bruchni of the Lakewood Yeshiva. He says over here how beautiful the sukkah really is, a protection for all of us. And I think today we need that protection on a massive level from our unfortunate pandemic that we are all suffering, where the whole world is suffering. And he said the following thought. He says, he's going to explain to us how important our involvement in being, or just sitting in the sukkah is. There's a Gemara that says, in Bava Metzia, that there was a little calf that was about to be slaughtered, and it knew that, and it was frightened, and it walked and hid itself under the garment, against the coat of Rebbe HaKadosh, and it started to cry. The little calf started to cry, and when Rebbe saw this, he said, "Go away. You were created to be slaughtered." Because of this, the Gemara says that Rebbe was punished since he didn't have mercy for him. And he should have shown some compassion that he lived the rest of his life with Yisurim. Whatever you would describe, let's say, stomach trouble, let's say, he had a lot of pain in the stomach or something similar. That's the Gemara. So the Nathan Meir Vachfos itself, you can ask a very interesting question over here. On the Mashkiach from Lakewood's Lechayrus bringing out something. What was the problem with Rebbe? Animals were created to be slaughtered. We know we slaughter animals to be eaten, and Hashem gives us the permission, and animals know that. And we know that from the Gemara, Saif Behema L'Shchita, the end of a Behema is a Shchita, is a slaughter. So what was the crime that Rebbe HaKadosh committed that he had to be punished for the rest of his life? And the answer is, though, said the Rosh Yeshiva, said the Mashkiach, that even though the behemoth knows that it's standing to be slaughtered, right, and no one's going to have a taina, no one's going to have a complaint for slaughtering the animal, but nevertheless, the complaint of Rebbe HaKadosh was the pity. He sees the animal crying. He knew why he was crying, and he didn't show rachmanis, rachmim. He didn't show pity. The fact that he didn't show pity was a complaint on Rebbe HaKadosh. He should have shown some pity. It's true that the animal is destined to be slaughtered, but Rebbe should have shown some kind of pity, and he just took the animal, and I'm not sure if he shoved it away or let it away and didn't show any compassion. All he said, that's what you're created for. Said the Mashkiach, Our sukkah is our form of protection. Chazal tell us it's called Tzilah Dehemenusa. It's the shadow of those who have trust in Hashem. The sukkah is a form of protection in the shadow of, in Hashem's protection, Hashem's shadow. If a person is zeicha to be in the shadow of Hashem, he also should be zeicha to Hashem's rachmanis, Hashem's pity. And having said that, even though al pi din, he's not fitting for pity, but on the holiday of Sukkot, when we all go into the Tzilah Dehemenusa, in the shadow of Hashem's protection, we're expecting Hashem will return His mercy upon us, even though we don't deserve it. And as a result of this, Hashem will always show His mercy when we will beg for His mercy, especially putting ourselves in the sukkah, which is the epitome of Hashem's protection over the Jewish people. This is a very important message for us today. Again, this falls in line with everything that I said tonight. We're talking about making an effort. We're making an effort in Simcha. V'samachta b'chagecha. We have to find a balance in the way we show Simcha, whether it's the physical Simcha or spiritual Simcha. We want to gain the spirituality and the zechus of the holiday of Sukkot. We have to make an effort. And if we make an effort of being in the sukkah and looking forward to Hashem's mercy, then Hashem feels obligated to show it to us, even though we may not be deserving of it. May Hashem help us all to be able to continue the holiday of Sukkot with Simcha, so we can fulfill this. Samachta b'chakecha, and we should be able to be protected under Hashem's mercy and Hashem's tzilah d'mehemenusa, Hashem's ultimate protection. Have a wonderful, wonderful Yom Tov.